Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you at this wonderful opportunity this day to join with us in Let's Face the Issues. Our daily broadcast deals with issues that multitudes are just simply unwilling to face, simply unwilling to deal with. I don't understand that, because I believe from the standpoint of what you find in the Scripture, every problem, I call them issues, every difficulty, I call them issues, everything that we're faced with in societal life today, you can go to the Word of God and you find God's Word deals with it. We are looking at the Scripture, and as we look at the Scripture, Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, if truth is what you're seeking, then the Bible is the answer. The Bible has the answer to every problem and issue that we're faced with in societal life, in anything that would be considered political life, in the anything that would be viewed as biblical, theological, doctrinal issues. The Word of God covers it all. And this is the reason I encourage you each day to join with us as we deal with the issues. And while I'm thinking on it, let me remind you that you can join in this dialogue and discussion any day by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Get you directly to our microphones that we might have the discussion together. Let me remind you also, tomorrow, on tomorrow's broadcast, we'll be dealing with the subject, should Bible be taught in the Florida public schools? Should Bible be taught in the public schools in the state of Florida? It's a very vital issue. It's an issue that will be coming up in the legislative session in the spring. And so we need to be concerned about that and understand what is good and what is not good. There are a lot of folks that's against that. Some folks are for it. And so we'll be discussing that tomorrow. And I'd love to have you make a mental note now that tomorrow at this same time, you join in the dialogue and discussion. Love to hear your input. Would like to hear your rationale behind being against it or for it, and the rationale for your position. Looking forward to that discussion tomorrow. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about a subject, hate crime against Christians. That's right, hate crime against Christians. We hear a lot about hate crime being perpetrated, and they're saying that if it's something that's against the homosexuals, it's hate crime. If it is something that is against Islam, it's considered hate crime and becoming more and more prevalent today. In fact, in all of Europe, hate crime and hate crime laws prevent Christians and moral, ethical, conservative people in all of Europe. It keeps them in the closet, keeps them silent. We're on the fast track toward that, ladies and gentlemen. But, ladies and gentlemen, we've all heard the sob stories of some of these LGBT people, LGBTQ, let me get it right, people that may have been refused entry into the opposite sex bathroom or showers or locker rooms, and they call it intolerance, and they call it wrong, and they call it homophobic responses. And yet we continue to see and hear reports from the across America about Christian businesses, florists and cake shops and wedding planners and all of those in the realm of service organizations that are Christians, and others that have taken biblical stands for what is morally, ethically, biblically, spiritually correct. And as a result of that, they face persecution and prosecution from the Sodomites and the ACLU and all of those that embrace that movement today. What is really at stake, ladies and gentlemen, is the freedom of religious expression and the freedom of liberties in our nation, the religious liberties that's afforded us in the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment, that we have that right, ladies and gentlemen, and yet we're finding it foreclosed upon day by day. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, this is what we're talking about today. The real ultimate goal, the end game for the LGBTQ sodomite movement in America is to force the church, listen to me well, the end game, the ultimate goal of the sodomite movement in America is to force the church to accept the immoral, ungodly, unholy, unbiblical lifestyle of the LGBTQ sodomites. And that group, ladies and gentlemen, that cluster of people in America make up between 2-4% of all of Americans. Ladies and gentlemen, back in 1978, there was a book published, about 600 pages. I have it in my library. It's called The Homosexual Network. And in that book, it sets forth their game, their goal, their approach, and it is all built on lies. And the end result of what they're doing today is what was projected and forecast in written form in 1978. So it should not come as a surprise to any American, anyone that is informed biblically, morally, and ethically, especially those that say they're saved, should not come as a surprise that that is the goal. That is the end game. That is the purpose. That is the modus operandi, as it would be called. But what happens when a pastor of a church or a church itself or Christian business stands up for biblical truth? What happens? Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand it's a very, very serious subject that we're talking about. Go back and study Genesis chapter 18 and 19. You find God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities. And the scripture says, and all the land around them, God destroyed them because of the sodomite lifestyle in those two cities. And somehow, some way, we're made to believe by some of what I call the loose, lax, lost liberals today that God's not the same, yet the scripture says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be on the lookout in America for the fire and brimstone to rain down from heaven. We need to be on the lookout for God's ultimate judgment against our nation, because from a political standpoint, it is politically correct to accept this position and to embrace it. But ladies and gentlemen, it ought not to be politically correct for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to do so. We ought not to embrace sin and a lifestyle of the sodomites that somehow, some way, are flaunting their immorality in a brazen fashion and wanting us to accept it. Ladies and gentlemen, what happens when a church or a pastor or a Christian business stands up for Christian biblical truth? It was just over a week ago, ladies and gentlemen, that we did a broadcast, the same microphone, reporting that a church in California put a sign out on their marquee reading. Let me read you what their sign said. And I'd love to hear from you if you think their sign is wrong, or if you think somehow, some way the church ought not to have done that. If you think somehow, some way the pastor was wrong, I'd like to hear from you. I want to know why and on what biblical premise do you make your statement. Their sign read, "Bruce Jenner is still a man. Homosexuality is still sin. The culture may change. The Bible does not." Is that right or wrong? Bruce Jenner can put on a skirt. He can have breast implants. He can put on lipstick and grow his hair. He can put earrings in his ears. He can walk around in high heel shoes, wobbly though he does. He's still a man. He's still male. His DNA is still male. God created two sexes, that's male and female, created he them, the scripture says. And you'll not find anything else in culture today. Ladies and gentlemen, the sign that was put out in front of that church in California, it was the Trinity Bible Presbyterian Church in Northern California. And the sign that was put out was exactly right. Ladies and gentlemen, the sign is truth, and it was all correct. Yet NBC News, I would simply call it never-ending bashing Christians. Never-ending bashing Christians. That's what NBC stands for. NBC News led in a fight, an open battle against the pastor and the church, just because the pastor took a biblical stand for truth. His sign was called hate speech by the media on the left coast. It was considered hate speech by those that gathered there from all other communities. The Sodomite community that claims to be tolerant. The Sodomite community says that they do everything based on love, and we'll look at that in a minute. Yet they gathered on the lawn of the church and protested and called it hate speech. Then the outrage of the so-called tolerant Sodomites, led by the media, completely destroyed the church's sign. And nothing is said of this being hate speech, the action of a hate crime. Here's the article, ladies and gentlemen. Church protester because their sign read, Bruce Jenner is still a man, and the Bible is still correct. The Bible is still right. The article says LGBT activists destroy church sign that said Bruce Jenner is a man. On Monday, Pulpit and Pen reported that Trinity Bible Presbyterian Church outside of Northern California was named Weed, posted a phrase on its marquee that read, Bruce Jenner is still a man, homosexuality is still sin, the culture may change, the Bible does not. In response, a mob of LGBTQ protesters met them outside the facility on Sunday morning. The church responded in love and rational explanation. Right now, however, the sign has been destroyed by the LGBT activists in the community. Here's the article further. The organizers of the LGBT protest, who didn't bother refuting the facts, listen, they didn't bother to try to refute the facts that were presented on the sign, but argued that it was nonetheless unloving, claimed that the purpose of the protest was to let people know the community isn't like that, but is filled with love and good vibes. The organizer said, but really what we're trying to do is to make sure that everybody else in the community knows that we are here and we love them. Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, let me just add a little footnote. Love means you're going to trespass on a church property. Love means you're going to destroy a sign. Love means you're going to assassinate a person's religious liberties and freedom of speech. Love says that you're simply going to go in and do your thing and call it love and embracing others. Ladies and gentlemen, this is horrific. Another claimed, another person that's in the organizing group. This sign across the street does not encompass what our community is all about. We're all born with the right to be or to do, and we're to do so without hate, without judgment, without ridicule. But loving your neighbor means you're gay, you're straight, you're Christian, you're an atheist, but you're our neighbors. The LGBT activists showed their love and tolerance by destroying the sign. The church's pastor, Justin Hoke, showed photos of the broken sign on Facebook. Ladies and gentlemen, they took about a $35,000 sign and absolutely eviscerated it. They shredded the sign, and they called that out of love and tolerance for those that happen to be Christians and in a Christian church. Ladies and gentlemen, there's something wrong with that big picture. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yeah, Reverend Youngblood, this is Marty, one of your fans from St. Augustine.
Yes, and Marty, good to have you on today.
Thank you, pleasure. I was telling somebody a while ago about the truth, the Tower of Babel, when people thought they were going to build that tower and look at God, Sodom and Gomorrah. The truth is the truth. And if we're looking at something, I think we're doing something wrong. There is something that's true. One and one is two. Now, if you think one and one is six, it's not six, it's two. Okay, this is not a Christian issue. This is a common sense issue. When somebody is posting on a sign that Bruce Jenner, or let's go a little further, that disgusting person, Cher, who had a daughter, and she wasn't, I don't think she would ever be a Miss America or whatever, but Chastity Bono, she thought she was a man, so at a certain point, her mother supported her, and she became Chaz Bono. And she still has the ovaries, the female glands, and Bruce Jenner still has the male glands inside of him. So that's not anything. You could be an atheist or a devil worshiper, but the point is one and one is still two, and Jenner is still a man. He's a man as far as internal. You're not a man because you have a deep voice, like, let's say, Lauren Bacall, a great actress, but she had a deep voice. She wasn't a man. She was a woman. Okay, so
Bruce, if I can interrupt just a moment, he's not just a man internally. He never had genital surgery. He is still a man. He is a man externally and internally, Marty.
Yes, what we do to legitimize it is when some of these creatures, as I call them, misguided creatures, maybe a modern-day Frankenstein product or whatever, when they're victimized and the media says that a woman or a she, Bruce Jenner is a he and Chaz Bono is a she. And if that person unfortunately gets mugged or whatever, a criminal act is put on them, it's not she, it's not, she's a she, and we go along with it instead of saying it's an it. Maybe we'd be better off as an it. They're not hermaphrodites, you know, I mean, they can't create that, whatever. But so we have to reach out to all groups and tell them this is a common sense issue. Decency is, it appears that it's a Christian, attribute, whatever, but decency is decency. It looked up in the dictionary. No one group owns it. Anyway, that's what I wanted to say. God bless you.
You're right. And thanks, Marty, so much for your call today. Ladies and gentlemen, what Marty's just said is so absolutely correct. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me do a little footnote on that. As Christians, we're to love everybody. God demands it. God directs it. And it is correct for the Christian to do so. That doesn't mean that we're to love and embrace sin. That doesn't mean we're to bring sin to our breast and say it's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, the final bastion of truth found in the household of faith in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is under attack. It is under attack by the sodomite community, demanding that we embrace, that we accept and embrace their lifestyle and call it okay. It is not okay. It is sin. But ladies and gentlemen, when the dear pastor of the church, the little church called Trinity Bible Presbyterian Church outside of Northern California, when they took a stand, when he took a stand on this issue, when he took a stand on what the Bible says and took a stand on truth, then all of a sudden he's attacked and he's called a hate monger. I find that insidious when we understand what the scripture says. I believe we have another caller on the phone. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Pastor. I agree with a lot that Marty just said, but it's tragic that this excellent and very necessary program today is even necessary. For me, it's very frustrating because the secular portion of Scripture, the secular portion of human history tells us very clearly that cultures die. Every culture that's ever existed has died for the reason, same reason. It's gay at the end, or there's gender neutrality. Essential masculinity goes away, and this perversion arises, and it is a perversion. It is a demonic perversion that is aimed directly at canceling out the very first commandment given in Scripture, which is Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. God's plan centered, his reconciliation plan for all creation centers on human life and its propagation to the end when we reach Revelation chapter 20 and 21. It is imperative that human beings reproduce one man and one woman exclusively across a lifetime and reproducing spiritually and physically as often as they can. Genesis 1:28 is the target of the gay movement. Do not be fruitful, do not multiply, so that the final commandment given in Matthew 28:19-20, which is the commandment to reproduce spiritually, cannot be done. This is satanic spiritual warfare, but you can, I don't recommend you do it, but you can take Scripture, the Bible, and put it on the shelf, go to human secular history, and you come to the same conclusion. When gayness appears in a culture, your culture is about to die, and you were so right in the beginning of this program. Not only are we about to be under God's judgment, in my opinion, sir, we're there. And
absolutely,
the hallmarks of that judgment are here. And if we don't have brave men, I'm including you in that, sir, who stand up and fight back, and don't capitulate, as this poor guy in California did, this nation's demise will be hastened to a quicker end than is already planned right now. We better wake up, and the key to battling this is two things, knowing the Word of God and knowing history, human history, but you better pick up a history book printed before the mid-60s.
Yes.
Thank you, sir, for the time to express these thoughts. Absolutely on board with you. The homosexual community, the sodomite community, is evil to its core, and its purpose is to destroy the church. Thank you.
Absolutely. You're so correct. You're right. Thank you so much for that call and for those comments, which is absolutely complimentary to what I'm trying to say today. Ladies and gentlemen, the outrage of the so-called tolerant sodomites led by the media completely destroyed the church's sign, and nothing is said. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing said. I have combed the internet. There's nothing said about this sign's destruction being hate speech or it being a hate crime perpetrated against God's church, God's people, and God's pastor. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm frightened when I think of the fact that law enforcement in California and perhaps across the nation literally have turned their blind eye to what is happening with the intolerance of the sodomite group, and yet they're calling Christians intolerant when we take a stand for truth and say what the scripture says that we ought to say. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very clear in the scripture in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the responsibility of the child of God to cry out, to call out, and to scream with a deep voice that sin is sin and that sin ought to be turned from according to the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the sodomite movement is not concerned about your rights. They're not concerned about human rights. They're not concerned about the rights of religious free speech. They have an ultimate end game goal, and that is to force Christians to embrace their sodomite, unholy, sinful lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, the Christians are openly being, crime is being openly committed against the Christians. We're being demeaned and an attempt to destroy simply because of the sodomite lifestyle and living. And it's sad that across our nation, mainline denominations are folding like a paper tent when they're pushed for the acceptance of the sodomite lifestyle. They're folding and accepting the sin. God's Word said it, and that settles it, that sodomy is sin, and that ones that are participating in that sin will burn in that place called hell. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, there are 10 classifications of human sinful activity that will not inherit the kingdom of God. And those that are the sodomites, the homosexuals, are part of that 10 group. I call it the no-fly list. Those that reject God, those that reject God's Word, those that are taking the attitude that I can live my life as I please, and God will just have to accept it. Ladies and gentlemen, God doesn't accept it, and God's Word says that that entire group of people in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And part of that, the effeminate, the abusers of themselves with mankind, both of those in the Greek text indicate homosexuality or sodomite lifestyle, if you will. And there's some folks that get upset with that. Just a couple of years ago, we had on our marquee out front that homosexuality is sin, and those that do not repent of the sin will die and go to hell. You would have thought we had shot the president, because the media locally went ballistic, just as in Northern California. But ladies and gentlemen, it's time that churches take the heat if necessary and stand for truth, and the truth of God's Word is so needful in these final fleeting days before the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and then the whole nation, the globe, is judged as a result of sin. Ladies and gentlemen, what's the standing now with this dear pastor? What has taken place? Here's a headline. Just yesterday's news, late evening. Pastor loses job after church sign stated homosexuality is still sin, causes an uproar. I'm going to read two or three excerpts from it, then I'm going to comment, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Justin Hoke of the Trinity Bible Presbyterian Church in Weed, California, has lost his job following both community and alleged internal backlash over the, notice it, alleged internal backlash over the language used in the most recent church sign. the sign read, Bruce Jenner is still a man, homosexuality is still sin, the culture may change, but the Bible does not. This article says a couple of dozen community members gathered to protest the sign. When they say community members, ladies and gentlemen, that's generally not correct. We've had that to happen here because of our marquee, because of our sign, dealing with Islamics, and it's called Islamophobia. We've dealt with homosexuality. We've dealt with political inequities, and we've had folks that will just come from all across the city as a result of somebody going on social media and inviting them to do so, led by the wicked fake news in our city. And that's what happened there. This article says a couple of dozen community members gathered to protest the sign on January the 6th called the Love Rally. It was organized by a local resident, and I'll not call her name, a female that's embracing that lifestyle. A second protest was held on Sunday. According to the most recent count of the official's Facebook page, 71 people were going to the event. 182 said they were interested in going to the event. Here's the essence of it. The Sodomite leader said, "We are there to support the LGBT community in a positive way. Debating with any church member isn't our goal at all. We're not here for them. Some of us on our side, on the street, on our side of the street, still are also, quote, religious. All of us are capable of threatening anyone, treating anyone with respect, even if we disagree. Do not engage anyone trying to escalate the situation to violence." That's a joke, ladies and gentlemen. Then on January the 9th, the sign was vandalized. And according to the published article, the sign was absolutely torn up, destroyed. And then Sunday, the pastor said, "I'm no longer the pastor, Trinity Bible Presbyterian Church." And here's what the pastor said. "I was informed by our other elder, apparently they had another pastor, that he felt that he could no longer follow my lead as a pastor. I was informed that essentially all of the people in our membership would leave if I continued as pastor. Our other elder and the people felt that those who left would likely return if I would leave. Our other elder was agreeable to stay and assume the pastoral responsibility. Therefore, I was determined that it would not be in the best interest of the local body, and therefore I have resigned." Over 100 people have made comments on this. I'll read just three of the comments that are online about this. One said, "I'm sorry the church doesn't support your stance. God bless you for being faithful to the Word of God and not the ungodly secular culture." Another one said, "Brother, I am speechless, but not surprised. You preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ that is hard to handle for most people. I am praying for you and the family right now. God bless you for your stand." Another one says, "We are praying for you, brother. You boldly spoke the truth." And then goes further to say, "Or am I trying to please man?" He's quoting from Galatians 1:10. Ladies and gentlemen, the pastor took a stand. As a result of the stand, he was forced to leave the church by his own people, by those that claim to be saved, those that claim that they're Christian. Here's a further statement that the pastor made, ladies and gentlemen. Here's his comment. He said, and I quote, "The culture has drawn a line in the sand and dared Christians to step over. He came to the conclusion that the church should accept the challenge, not with hate, but simply preaching the truth of the gospel." He goes further to say, regardless of the protesters, the pastor said, "I believe they're sincere, sincerely wrong, but sincere. I believe that it is hypocritical that their position is taught in schools, it is pushed on our children, while our position in the church is asked to keep quiet within the walls of the church." He concluded his conversation by stating, if he could stand in the pulpit again for just a few minutes, he would still continue to preach the truth of the gospel precisely as the Bible dictates. Ladies and gentlemen, I commend him for that. Let me just tell you this. In Romans, the first chapter, in the 26th verse and following, it says very clearly that God has turned them over to a reprobate mind. We're talking about the Sodomites. What does it mean, a reprobate mind? Depraved, corrupt, sinful, immoral, shameless, wicked, evil, profligate, degenerate, damned, doomed, debauched, desolate, corrupt, lost-minded, unruly. And that's exactly what you find, ladies and gentlemen, is the mindset of those that have God has turned over to a reprobate mind. This is the reason they can call it love and destroy you, your church, your pastor, and your life, simply because you stand for Jesus Christ. We need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption is drawing nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.